It is a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, of course, brought to you by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as the Phillies continue a series down in D.C. Scott, how are you doing today?
Scott.
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Are you sure you're doing all right, Scott?
Well, you know, the last couple of days have been rough.
Yes, yes, they have.
In a lot of ways. Got a little sleep last night. That was good.
Yeah, we heard about the travel issues. They had some trouble getting out of Cincinnati, Hugh, and they were able to get to D.C. until... When did you guys get into D.C., Scott?
We landed at Dulles at 2 in the afternoon, and the buses went straight to the ballpark and got there about 3.
Yeah, that is quite a turnaround. That's not the kind of travel that the Phillies or anybody wants. And last night, not a great night. The last few nights, not a great night, or great nights for the Phillies here. Scott, what do you make of the offense right now, which they got so many clutch hits early in this road trip and found a way to win those games late? It just feels like those aren't coming at the same rate the last 4 or 5 games, where they're not scoring early and they're not scoring enough late either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the reason behind it is, but maybe it's just the ups and downs. But it's not been a good week for the offense. There's no question about that. I mean, obviously, the three guys at the top, who've largely just carried them this season offensively, they've kind of all, in one way or another, kind of hit the skids a little bit. I mean, you know, there's still a little bit of production here and there. You know, last night, 10 hits, that was good. You know, didn't generate that many chances all in all, kind of really scattered those 10 hits. But yeah, I mean, Abbott was really good the other day. Hunter Green was really tough the other day. I tell you, I don't know if I'd want to be the team playing them in a short series with a couple of starters like that. That'd be a tough challenge.
It certainly would. And I think Lodolo was out. He's out, but he's good too. So they have a lot of pitching there. Scott, let's talk about Nick Castellanos. It feels like it's been a while with this down streak or, you know, slump he's been in. And Scott, I think this came up last week when we spoke, but I'm starting to wonder just how much longer they can let him play every day. They have more options in the outfield now. If they played Bader in center on a more regular basis, they could use Kepler, and Castellanos is more of a split in right field than just Castellanos basically every day. I know Saturday they did it, and I wondered if that was something to come or it was just what they said, want to get him a day off on the turf in Texas. What do you think about Castellanos and where this is headed right now?
Well, obviously he's really, really struggling. You know, I've asked Rob about it numerous times recently, and, you know, one day it's, you know, he's not quite ready to move him down in the order, although he went down a tick last night, you know, moved up Marsh and moved Castellanos down, gave him the day off for the knee. But he, you know, in his pregame briefing with the press yesterday, he kind of hinted to the idea that there might be more days off to come. He said, you know, I mean, he kind of couched it in the idea that, you know, it's that time of year and maybe some guys could benefit from some more days off. I think that was kind of how he phrased it. And I wouldn't be shocked if you saw that type of alignment. I mean, tonight's probably not going to be the night with a lefty on the hill, but I would not be surprised if you see it. You know, if his struggles continue, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit more of what we saw last weekend against DeGrom.
So, Scott, so far, what do you think of Harrison Bader's contribution to the team?
Well, he's been good. He hasn't done a ton offensively. You know, he had the one big home run on the homestand, but he hasn't done a lot offensively. Now, you know, in his defense, he's been really in and out of the lineup, and maybe there's something to be said for just planting him out there in center field and figuring out the corners. You know, they haven't obviously gone to that that place yet. I think it still could be in the cards. Defensively, he's been great. Made a great catch, you know, to save a run the other night, rob a homer. To me, he's a really good center fielder. I mean, he just takes charge of all the balls in the gaps. He takes charge. You know, he's had one misstep, really, and that was that pop-up in shallow center. But other than that, I think he's been really, really good defensively. But, you know, again, not a whole lot offensively there.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. Scott, let's talk about the pitching, which we'll welcome back an old face coming up on Sunday. Aaron Nola going to start that game Sunday off the injured list, and it's been a while. We haven't seen him since May. Very long injured stint, which is not typical for Aaron Nola. And Scott, the question in my mind is, what is Aaron Nola going to be like? Because I think we can excuse maybe the last few starts he had before he went on the IL, because clearly the ankle was bothering him. But he wasn't very good early in the season. And I think we assumed, all right, he'll figure it out. But now we haven't seen him in a long time. What's your expectation for Nola? Scott suddenly feels very important to me with the way the back of the rotation is. I feel like they need him again, the way they kind of always do at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think they do. I think, you know, you still operate under the assumption that, I mean, you started the year, he was basically your number two guy. I know, you know, to me, he's hugely important. And you're obviously pushing every other starter out to insert him in. Maybe that'll only be for one turn. Maybe it'll be for more. I don't know. He may not blow the doors off first start kind of thing, because he's still really, you know, I mean, it's a long, long layoff, so he's still working his way back. But, yeah, I do think he's pretty important at this stage of the game. And I think you're still, you know that it's Wheeler and Sanchez 1 and 2. Who's number three? Who's going to be your third playoff starter if you're in a short series? You know, you could probably get by with three in a division series or wild card series or whatever the heck they call it, if you get to that spot. But, I think he's very, very important. So I'm curious to see what he's got.
We are too, Scott. That number three for a while felt like it was going to be Ranger Suarez.
Yeah.
And it's not looking great in that department now. What are you noticing when you watch him? I mean, the velocity's down, but he doesn't pitch with great velocity anyway. So that doesn't usually get me, but... Boy, they were getting some good swings off him in Cincinnati this week.
They were, especially, I mean, after the first couple of innings, I mean, first seven batters, he looked like old Ranger. But after that, his command was way off. And then I thought he really kind of broke down mentally, to be honest with you. He really, I think, let some calls that he didn't agree with get to him. And, you know, I mean, he even kind of admitted that right at the end. That he was just sort of throwing at that point, and I think throwing with a little bit of anger, and that doesn't usually lead to very good results. So, I mean, given the track record of last year, there's reason for concern. We kept thinking, you know, if he gets healthy, he'll figure it out, and he never really did last year. So, and you can understand there's probably a lot of pressure on Ranger. He's got a contract he wants to sign in the off season. And, this second half is starting to slip away from him. So, I think there's plenty of reason for concern.
Scott, you brought up contract. I got to ask you, I'm wondering if you found it interesting. We clearly made a big deal out of it because, you know, that's what we do. The Schwarber stuff in Cincinnati this week, the homecoming, his dad and throwing out the first pitch. I mean, there's some thought out there the Reds are going to try to pursue him in free agency. Did you find that over the top? I can't remember a time where there was an active player and it wasn't like a retirement tour, because those are different.
Yeah.
You know, it felt almost like that, even though he's not in a retirement tour. What did you make of the Reds kind of celebrating Schwarber the entire series there?
Well, I mean, if it's laying the groundwork to get a guy they want, good for them. It's not a bad idea if that's what their end game is. I don't know how realistic it is for them to want to go after Schwarber in free agency, but I don't know if they're ready to commit the kind of dollars that it would take to get him. In that regard, was it over the top? I don't know. I mean, I can't say that I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I was about to ask that with, too.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah, it's different. You're right. I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that. So, a game on, I guess, right?
I guess it is.
You know that he's going to be pursued.
Of course.
Whether it's the Reds or, Cleveland or any other team. You know, I'm not talking just hometown teams. Any other, he's going to be pursued. But I do think he likes it here. I think he understands that the Phillies are interested and I would say more than interested. I mean, I think the Phillies have a full realization of how important he is both on the field and off. I don't think that's the case at all. This is going to be, you know, go out and see what the market is out there. And I think the Phillies would have every opportunity to try to make a matching kind of deal and try to sway him to stay. And I do think he likes it here. So
What is your gut telling you though, Scott? Because you know when you let you know somebody go out there and see if they can find greener pastures, mm-hmm. you know those offers might be you know.
Sure.
They might be lofty.
Sometimes Hugh Douglas ends up in Jacksonville instead of on the Eagles. It happens.
Right. I mean, you know, Nola went to free agency, right?
Yeah.
And Nola tested the market. And Nola got a really good offer, apparently, from the Braves. And the Phillies had to make an even better offer. And, you know, it costs them a lot of money. And it may end up costing them more than it would have, say, a year ago or whatever if you extended him. It's very likely with the year that he's having that it's going to, you know, cost you more than it would have at this, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that's, you know, that's kind of the price of poker, I guess. My gut tells me that they'll make, that money will not deter them from signing Kyle Schwarber. Just sheer dollars won't deter them. I don't think. I think they really, really understand how important he is, both in the lineup and in the clubhouse. For the organization, all those things. He's like kind of everything you want, and I don't think money's going to stand in the way for the Phillies.
Good to hear.
Well, that is great to hear, and hopefully it plays out the way we want, which is him back here. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be listening this weekend. Phillies and Nats, hopefully they get some wins here and get back home on Monday. Thank you, Scott.
All right, thanks. Let's get it turned around, boys.
Sounds yes, great. Definitely. There he is. Scott Francy, the voice of the Phillies there. I'm glad Scott said that. So Scott has been broadcasted baseball a long time. Hugh, I've been a fan of baseball my whole life. What I saw this weekend in Cincinnati, this week, I've never seen. Like, that's typically reserved for, you know, the David Ortiz retirement tour. The Barry mm-hmm. Bonds, or he didn't really get one. But, like, the great player that it says, I'm retiring after the season, Jeter, or whatever, right? And every park they go to, someone gives them a plaque or something or whatever. And everyone cheers because it's the great Cal Ripken, right? The great player that's about to go home. Kyle Schwarber was a free agent to be, and they were treating him like that. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I still think it's the Ohio thing, but for Scott to sit there and say he's never seen anything like that,
it's nuts.
It's different. It hits a little different when you have somebody who's been in the game as long as he's been.
Yeah, and
to say that,
I understand why they did it.
You did.
Yeah. I did.
I'm not. I was
listen
off,
to old
I
Kyle
was,
more often.
I was off a little bit on that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just vibrating in a higher frequency.
How does it feel when it's thrown back in the higher frequency?
No, it's fine. Mm-hmm. We're here now, and I'm glad he's vibrating at higher frequency. Okay. It took me long enough to get him there. Mm-hmm.
With all due respect.
You haven't gotten me there. Here's what frequency I'm vibing under. I hated that Schwarber participated.
Why?
I hated it. What do you mean, why? He's a Philly. Throw out the first pitch at the Reds game.
It was a joke by him.
It was annoying. Like, why would he do that? Can we keep the main? I'm going to use the Jalen line.
Main thing to main
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, can we play? You're playing for the Phillies.
It's your dad, though. And your dad probably sat there with all glassy eyes. Oh, my gosh.
Go play catch at dad's house.
With all due respect, dad, sit down and shut it.
Getting used by the Reds.
Yeah, you can't get mad when you say with all due respect.
That's what you taught us. With all due respect.
With all due respect, dad. Shut your pie hole.
With all due respect, Kyle, you're a Philly. Enough flirting with the Reds in front of us. I was jealous. I was annoyed. I felt all those emotions.
That's what happens. Hey, but if you do what you're supposed to do, then you ain't got to worry about your girl going to the club flirting with somebody else. That's an analogy.
Okay, but I have no control over this, the girl, the club, or any of the analogies you're making. I just want Schwarber to stay a Philly.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I thought it was
a lot, though.
It was, especially because he's the leader of the team. I mean, you're the leader of the team going out there, getting showered with gifts from the Reds? Enough. All right, let's go.
Well, see how the team's played ever since.
I didn't think of that. Gone in the tanks since Schwarber was flirting with the Reds.
They haven't won a game since.
Mm.
They lose. If they have a bad weekend, you know that's what we're talking about on Monday.
You know what? There might be something to that because how did that make the Reds feel? Knowing that, you know.
How'd it make the Phillies feel?
Man.
His teammates watching him out there.
Could have took the wind out of their sails a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Schwarber hasn't hit a home run since either, has he?
I don't think so. His first home run was the first game of the Red Series.
That's what happens when you start fooling with those Ohio cats.
I know.
Is that what it is?
They're bad news. That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't argue that.
Yeah, those guys are.
Some of them.
You wanted to be offended.
Some of them are fighting demons.
With all due respect.
Some of them are fighting demons on a daily basis.
Yeah, actually, without any respect. Black Gritty's up next. What's up, Black Gritty?
So, first of all, he should have never done that. And people get on Bryce for pandering. Mm-hmm. That was pandering.
It was.
Like, what are we doing?
Totally.
What are we doing? Like, you're going to play them like 19 more times in your life. You're about to sign another 3-year contract. Stop it. And they have been playing terrible since then. So I'm blaming it all on Schwarber, and they better fix it because I'm sick and tired. Now, Topper, has to do a great job. You know why? Because I got a platoon outfield. So every single night I got to worry about him pushing the right buttons to get me what I need to do to win games. And it's making me sick. But we're still winning the World Series because that's all I got left in my heart to hope for. It is what it is. Now, as far as the preseason and practice and training camp, you're right. When they're doing good, I'm happy about it. When they're doing bad, I'm still the world champion, and I don't care. And I know I got cerebralitis, and I know Kyle be jumping up and down, jumping out the window. But it's the Browns, and they didn't have A.J. Brown, and they didn't want Saquon out there because they don't want to get it. Like, I'm just saying, we're out there just going through the motions. We're trying to stay healthy. And, by the way, Howie Roseman has to be stopped. Okay, hearing Lane Johnson speak the way he spoke makes me sick because Fletcher Cox just got paid his last paycheck. I think they still owe Kelsey one more year check. Lane's like, well, shoot, they done kicked my contract down the can so far. If I retire next year, they still owe me four seasons of free checks, and he ain't got to go to no training camps. That's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about these free seasons he's going to get. He's looking at Kelsey and Cox like, yo, these dudes sitting at home still getting 14 mil? That could be me, bro. So, Howie, you better watch all this can kicking you're doing. These dudes want to retire, have a podcast now, you know what I mean? Get Taylor Swift on it, make some real money. You know what I'm saying? Gotta be careful. That's what's going on. I hate hearing that from Lane Johnson. Makes my heart ache. Now, ask me about John Johnson.
What do you got? I need a snack of the night. John needs help here, Blacker. These guys eating celery.
So I told him I make the best macaroni and cheese in the world. I put mine up against anybody's grandma, auntie, coast to coast, Key West, Key Largo, and I told him I'd bring my pan. I bring a lobster mac, a crab mac, a smoked mac, whatever he wants to.
Lobster
I make
mac
it fresh
and cheese.
We're stretching the meaning of
snack. But that's not a snack, though. That's a meal.
It's a little filling for a snack.
It's one thing.
But it's a meal.
It's not a snack.
I'm putting my foot down. Your foot? What's your foot mean? You're skinny. You don't know nothing about snacks. I'm only taking you and me on this. You don't know nothing about no snacks.
Okay, well, then how about this, Black Gritty? You're not getting the league with that answer. So that's where I put my foot down.
All right. Everyone relax.
A bowl of Captain Crunch would be like considered a snack.
It's just my thing on mac and cheese is I've never thought of it as a snack. I'm not saying it can't be. It just feels filling.
Of course it's not a snack.
What are we talking about? With all due respect, if you sit down eating mac and cheese as a snack, you probably well over 300. You use a three biller, with all due respect, like your definition of snacks is solely different than everybody else's definition.
It's not even close to a snack.
You can't imagine me coming in here like, you know, usually I have like a bar in the morning, right? When we're doing our meeting. Like, if I was sitting there at 9 a.m. having mac and cheese, and you said, oh, it's your breakfast, and I said, no, I already had breakfast. This is my mid-morning snack. That would strike you as weird?
That would be a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
Yeah, as a snack.
It's not a snack.
It's just too filling.
Like, because to me, if I want a snack, I'm going to pop some popcorn. So that's a snack. Maybe eat some chips
or
something.
I think there's a difference between a side and a snack. He said it's just one thing. Like, mac and cheese is definitely a side. A small portion of it.
Lobster in it, that's borderline a meal.
Well, that's a meal. It's a meal.
That's a borderline.
There's no borderline about it. You're talking about lobster mac and cheese.
Because, let's set it
up. Put up a poll. Is mac and cheese a snack?
If we're talking about after 8 o'clock, right? Probably a snack. Just get something to get you to the next day.
Just a little bit. Little
so I'm going to get me a bowl of mac and cheese. That sounds heavy. You know what I'm saying? That sounds heavy. I'm not doing that.
By the way, maybe some ice cream is a snack.
Maybe some cricket chips.
Have you seen them, they
sell them in a pack, the seaweed thingies?
I've tried it. Gross.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, we tried it. No one liked it in the house.
But that's a snack.
It's a snack. Black Gritty did bring one really good thing to the table, though, that I think needs to be included in whatever the hell went on at Cincinnati this week with the Schwarber thing where they were flirting with him. He's the catch with Dad. I mean, come on. I never criticized Kyle Schwarber, but that whole thing was a joke. So it was a homecoming, right? They billed it as Kyle Schwarber's homecoming.
Yes.
Do you know how many times Kyle Schwarber's played in Cincinnati in his big league career? Remember, he used to play in the Central Division.
Yes.
He was a Cub.
Mm-hmm.
He's played there 50 times. 50. But this week, we decide to invite Dad to throw the first pitch out.
Because it was different.
Yeah, it was different because they want to court him in free agency, and he played along.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not trying to lie or protect him. Didn't his dad retire? I think his dad retired.
From what? The big leagues?
I think he's an officer. I think you're right. Yeah. I think he's an officer of the law.
Yeah.
And I think he retired, and they were honoring him.
Yeah, how about we honor Mr. Schwarber any other night of the week?
But to your point, that's a lot. Like, he lives in Middletown. Middletown is not Cincinnati. It's not like he's a Cincinnati
police. I know. This Ohio thing.
I'm just trying, you know, I'm trying to protect Ohio, brother. But yeah, this might be a bit of a reach.
I need to protect the Phillies and the rest of the season and where their head's at.
I might have to
and
lay
I got
out
their best hitter out there getting showered with gifts and first pitches and dad on the field. Like, it's Little League or something.
Yeah, I might need to lay out on this.
I just couldn't believe it.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. It was extreme is what it was. Again, one thing, or like, I know he was asked by the reporter, he probably knows, and he said, yeah, you know, as a kid, I wanted to play here. All right, can we just move on? The dad thing was over the top. And again, he's played there 50 times. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. All right, we got a lot going on here. So we're definitely Black Rudy's off the board. He's not. He has no chance to get it in?
I didn't even write it down.
Okay.
It's not being considered.
I think he's very proud of his mac and cheese. He's put out photos of it before.
No, yeah. I'm saying
that's great, man. Find another way to shoehorn it in.
It's
not a snack.
Because he sent me a picture, right? And I'm not going to lie, Black Gritty. I thought this was pizza.
Oh, but you're ripping the guy's mac and cheese?
No, I'm not saying.
A chef.
No. Joe, it's a lot of damn cheese, man.
Well, that's before it gets baked.
Yeah, but
let me see what it looks like. Well, I do like the brown on the top, though, because that's looks good.
I mean, it doesn't look bad, but it's... Dog, okay, I didn't see that last picture. Okay, so I take that back. But I thought it was a pizza, though.
Yeah,
what is that piece of chicken?
I don't know what's next to the mac and cheese.
Is that a piece of chicken? That's a heavy ass meal,
yeah,
man.
Clearly the guy made a meal, not a snack. All right, 215-592-9494. Lot to discuss here. I think Topper needs to be great for the Phillies to win the World Series. Not good. Not just like there in the dugout, not just write the lineup card. I think he needs to be great. This is a team that every night is going to have to be managed to win. It's not blowing people out, pinch hitting, pitchers coming out in the seventh inning. It's all Topper decisions. He needs to be great. Agree, disagree for the Phillies to win the World Series. This training camp matter. A lot of people out there are just obviously in their feelings because the Eagles got blown out by the Browns yesterday. It matters.
Yeah,
they got to be better.
Was so
the Elliott description of blown out by the Browns. All right, your phone calls here, 215-592-9494. We need to help our guy, John Johnson. Snack of the night. The guy's running out of ideas. We're going with celery this week. What should John Johnson have as a snack of the night? Best answer we get today wins the spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. He was giggling over there. We got something else to talk about as well on the other side. What to expect? Aaron Nola's back tonight. We haven't watched Aaron Nola pitch since May. What do we expect from Aaron Nola? That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And it's time to talk about FanDuel. I think I pulled a Hugh there, and he enjoyed it. All right, on Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your favorite football season predictions. Take a flyer on the MVP race, perhaps a bounce-back statistical season for that quarterback out in Kansas City. Crown your champion in August. I was going to go with Philadelphia, but they got blown out yesterday by Cleveland, so now I need a new Super Bowl pick. Or parlay your division winner dark horses. I've been telling you, I like the dark horse in the South. Hughes Panthers and the Titans. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now, because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.